This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. We'll go to the Senate confirmation hearings for Amy Coney Barrett when we part company today at 10 o'clock. Until then, we've got a couple of amazing guests in store in the back half of this hour, starting with Clarissa Ward, Chief International Correspondent for CNN. And she has written about her career as a reporter covering hot zones all across the world. She is with us today from the fabulous city of London. Good morning to you, Clarissa.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks so much for having me on.
It was nice to talk with you, and she's won multiple Peabody, Murrow, and Emmy Awards and spent the last 15 years reporting for four major networks, moving from one hot zone to the next. Have you counted all the countries that you've been to reporting from war zones?
That's a really good question. I don't think I ever have counted them, no. But I lived in Beirut, Baghdad, Moscow, Beijing, London, New York, and then obviously have visited Afghanistan, Yemen, Georgia, Jordan. I mean, yeah, we could be here all day. Definitely dozens.
Clarissa Ward, her book is On All Fronts, The Education of a Journalist. Was there any place you lived that you particularly liked above all others?
I loved Beirut. I really loved Beirut. I've always felt a profound sense of connection with that city. It's so vibrant. It's so dynamic. It has so much going on there. You know, I mean, you're in this place that historically has been home to a lot of war, but there's also an incredibly cosmopolitan scene. There's a lot of fun to be had in Beirut, a lot of dancing on tabletops, if you can believe it. And it just embodies a lot of different contradictions that make it an exciting and fascinating place to spend time. And it's beautiful.
Yeah, most Americans would not appreciate that. They think of Beirut and think of the bombing in 1983, and it is a cosmopolitan city, and food is good there too, isn't it?
Food is excellent. You're right on the Mediterranean, beautiful beaches. But listen, I don't want to glamorize it too much. They're going through a really tough time in Beirut at the moment after that awful explosion in August, and with COVID and an economic crisis and total political paralysis. So Lebanon has been going through some tough times, but it's an incredible place.
Clarissa Ward with us, CNN's Chief International Correspondent, On All Fronts, The Education of a Journalist. You lived in Moscow for how long?
So I lived in Moscow twice. I lived there as an intern for CNN in 2002 for just 3 months, and then I lived there again in 2007 as ABC News' Moscow correspondent for 2 years.
How was that experience?
You know, I've always had a real love-hate relationship with Russia, to be honest. I studied Russian literature at college, so I've always been drawn to it, but I have also found it's a difficult place to live as a journalist. It's difficult also in terms of the weather. It's very cold. It's very terrible traffic. And mostly, though, it's about trying to do your work as a journalist and seeing the greed of some people in that country and how others live in relative poverty. And I feel like a lot of Russians are being shortchanged in many ways by their government, and they're not getting the full story on that. But for the most part, I feel very, very privileged to have lived there, and I've met some incredible Russian friends along the way.
You grew up in New York City, I believe, so you can relate some to the background of the President of the United States. Our president, Donald Trump, has had this cozy relationship with Vladimir Putin. Is that inexplicable, or is there some understanding of how that union has come about?
Well, listen, I think from his side, you can understand it when you look at how he does tend to have this sort of respect for authoritarian leaders. He seems to really think that there's something positive in the way that they're able to have complete control over their countries and over the media in their countries. I think from the perspective of Russia's president, Vladimir Putin, it's a different sort of thing. I think initially it was not so much love of Trump, but real hatred of Hillary Clinton that led to the Russians' sort of full-throated support for President Trump. I think in the long run, if they were hoping that things would get better for them in terms of the U.S.-Russia relationship, that hasn't actually happened because there's been enough opposition to Russian meddling and Russian actions on the world stage that actually Congress has been pretty tough on Russia. So with this coming election, I think it'll be really interesting to see. So far, the Russians don't seem to be coming out publicly in the same way they did for President Trump with this election. But behind the scenes, I think that's what their hope still is for another term, another Trump presidency.
A listener asks about the reports that Vladimir Putin and the Russian government put bounties on the heads of U.S. soldiers. The president has not acknowledged this, despite credible reports from his own intelligence people. What do you make of this?
You know, I think it's an unfortunate reality and a sort of sign of the times that we're living in, that, you know, we live in an age of no consequence. And it seems to be that President Vladimir Putin can more or less do what he wants. And by the way, this isn't just under President Trump. If you look at under President Obama, who had said that the use of chemical weapons in Syria would be a red line, and then the Syrian leader Bashar al-Assad went ahead and used chemical weapons multiple times on his own people, and there was no real consequences for that. And then Russia got involved in the conflict and started bombing hospitals, and there were no consequences for that. And so, we all understand that foreign policy tends to be pretty ruthless, right? We don't need to be Pollyannish about it. It's guided by national interests. I think the question with President Trump becomes, what is the national interest here? How is there any national interest in terms of, you could understand President Obama wanted to avoid getting involved in a war in Syria, but what would President Trump lose by really taking President Putin to task for some of the meddling, whether it's, you know, putting a bounty on the heads of U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan or whether it's meddling in the American democratic process? You would think it would be in America's own interest to really take Putin to task for that.
You traveled with U.S. soldiers embedded with Marines at the height of the Iraq War, a dangerous assignment for any reporter, but as a woman, there is another layer of activity there. How was that experience?
I think it was, for me, it was a real education. I was so young. I was 25 years old. I'd never been in any conflict zone, and I was very lucky to learn about conflict from within the relatively safe confines of being embedded with the U.S. military. And the U.S. military has gone, above and beyond to try to protect and help the journalists who were in their care. It does, unfortunately, though, present some difficulties when it comes to the stories that you're telling, because obviously if you're embedded with a unit and they're really good men and they're looking out for you every day, you're not going to do a piece that excoriates them in any way, shape, or form. And the problem with the war in Iraq was that there wasn't the ability to report from both sides. You only really had the ability to get out there safely if you went out with the U.S. military. And that meant, I think, that there was something missing from our coverage.
You speak seven languages. You have traveled the world reporting at the highest levels of American journalism and now live in London. I think by choice, you must love that city.
So I'm actually half British, and I lived here for 6 or 7 years when I was younger, when I was like a kid. So in a sense, London is home for me, and it's a perfect place to be based because I can travel to the rest of the world much more easily than I could if I was based in the U.S., but I can also drink the tap water, which after years of living in the places that I've lived in is actually a small privilege that I'm very grateful for.
Now, you must follow with interest Boris Johnson. How is he regarded in his home country right now?
Well, I think it depends who you talk to. For the most part, I think he's facing a lot of criticism for his handling, or some would say mishandling, of the coronavirus pandemic. You know, the UK has some of the highest numbers in the world, which when you think that it's a relatively small country and that the UK had a few more weeks to prepare for this pandemic than other parts of Europe did. Some people will see that as being largely unforgivable and certainly very difficult to understand. I think there's also, he has a mixed record as well on the issue of Brexit. For people who support Brexit, of course, they are big champions of his, but for people who've been fighting it, there is a real concern that the UK could now go to what they call like a no-deal situation, where they don't hash out a deal with Europe by the deadline, which means it would be a sort of full-blown Brexit, mm-hmm. Which would be a real shock to the system for this country and for the people who live here. So I think, he's regarded by many as being charming and amusing and intelligent and highly articulate, but he's regarded by others as being a buffoon. It really depends on who you're talking to.
Clarissa Ward, her book is On All Fronts, The Education of a Journalist. Good question from a listener. What's the hottest place on the planet right now? What's the most dangerous place in the world?
I think that Syria is still one of the most dangerous places on the planet. Afghanistan continues to be incredibly dangerous. Yemen, parts of, Iran, depending on what you're doing there. And also Iraq. So a lot of the usual suspects, but the one that most people probably haven't heard of is a small place called Nagorno-Karabakh, which is a sort of Armenian separatist enclave in Azerbaijan. It's been the site of a lot of fighting between Armenia and Azerbaijan in recent weeks and months.
Well, thank you for joining us, and congrats on your fine book and many years to go for Clarissa Ward as an international correspondent, one of the toughest jobs on the planet. The book is On All Fronts, The Education of a Journalist. Thank you, Clarissa.
Thank you so much, Jim.
And we'll return with Brad Meltzer after this timeout.